Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the AfriCast. My name is Brendan Lotz, and joining me on the line today is Robin Lichetti.
Hey, how's it going?
And Clinton Matos.
Hello, everybody.
How are you guys doing on lockdown day? Who knows anymore?
Still alive. That's the exact measure of things going well. So pretty good.
Yeah, about the same.
Okay. Nobody feeling sick. Everybody feeling good. Feeling positive. I shouldn't
not
say
feeling
that.
Sick. Yeah, I wouldn't go with the positive thing. Just not feeling sick, which is like a no for the moment.
I don't want to get sued. That's why I don't want to say it, because there's a South African comedian who's like kind of adopted that as his greeting in his I don't know, are they TikTok videos if they're on Facebook? I just call everything that's a vertical video TikTok. Anyway, let's get into the AfriCast this week. Clinton, you have some news regarding UNISA.
Yes, so UNISA, the University of South Africa, is offering, they call them courses, but they're not really official study material. They're just kind of free things you can do when you have some time, and they are language courses. You can learn 9 African languages on their website, and it's not in-depth. This isn't like Duolingo. They're not going to take you from knowing nothing to being fluent. It's a basic starter course that teaches you important sayings. So you can ask people, you know, where's the bathroom? Or if you're on a taxi, you can ask for terms about that. And you can go on UNISA's website and learn these. It's just a bit weird how it's been set up, because UNISA said this is only available to students and staff. But if you follow the link that I have in the story, all the stories we mentioned on the AfriCourse will be down below. If you follow this link, you can just do it. You don't need to log in or anything like that. So I don't know why they say it's limited to students and staff when it doesn't seem to be. The other problem with it is that it uses Flash. In the year of our Lord 2020, it is using Flash for its videos. Now, there are several ways you can force Flash to work in whatever browser you're using, and you can force it to work safely. But I would say just ignore that. There is an option where it says download this for print, and it will just open like a PDF which you could learn instead of the video. I recommend people doing that. Don't bother with Flash. So check that out. I mean, everybody's got some extra free time. You're stuck at home. Well, a lot of people are working. But if you do have some extra time, you know, learn some things in a language you don't know anything about. I think that's a really good use of your lockdown time.
Yeah, especially in South Africa, where we have 11 official languages. I think we could all stand to learn a bit more, you know.
And a tree.
So yeah, absolutely. Well, for now, until they realize that they've configured their server incorrectly and anybody can with the link can access it.
Until then.
Anyway, moving on. ICASA, the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa, has said that they are getting ready to publish invitations to apply for high demand spectrum, as well as the wireless open access network. So anybody who's been following the case of spectrum for the last couple of years will know that this is now the second one that we've had in the last 5 years. The first one actually took place in 2016. And it was met with a legal challenge from then Minister of Telecommunications and Postal Services, Siyabonga Gqwele. It was stopped. And then in 2018, ICASA withdrew the application, the invitation to apply for spectrum. This time around, things seem to be a bit more methodical and a bit more closely aligned with government. So last year we had Minister of Communications Stella Ndabeni Abrahams, also known as Miss Lunchtime. She published a policy on high demand spectrum and policy direction on the licensing of a wireless open access network. Very succinct and simple name for a policy, I think we'll all agree. And then in response to that, ICASA published the Information Memorandum for International Mobile Telecommunications Spectrum Assignment, or international mobile, that's also known as high demand spectrum. So a lot of this is surrounding the push to get 5G up, which we will touch on in a little bit, throwing forward a bit here. But there's also the matter of extending coverage in terms of 4G to more areas of the country, which a lot of mobile telecommunications operators have been complaining about for a very long time, is that they aren't able to expand their services because there's just not enough spectrum. So hopefully this addresses that issue. As I said, they are preparing to publish. There's been a couple of issues, as I'm sure you can understand, given the times that we're living in, getting this invitation out, but they have said that they will get it out as soon as possible. And yeah, this should be quite interesting. Hopefully, as promised by President Cyril Ramaphosa earlier this year, the issue of high demand spectrum may be solved by the end of the year. Well, we'll have to wait and see, but things are looking up and there seems to be movement in the space. So really, really exciting, if you can call telecommunications news exciting. Then Robin, you and I both worked on this week. MTN launched its 5G network.
The news around it kind of came a bit of a surprise to us on the day.
Yeah.
But perhaps a discussion for another time. Yeah, so now MTN and Vodacom both have 5G networks in the country. As you mentioned, we've both covered the story. MTN's network currently spans 100 different sites over Johannesburg, Cape Town, Bloemfontein, and Port Elizabeth. And it's kind of using a whole kind of mix of different spectral bands in order to kind of achieve this. In Johannesburg, Cape Town, and Bloemfontein in particular, they're using a 3.5 gigahertz band.
The golden boy!
Yeah. it looks like 5G is rolling out across the country, but again, it's limited just in terms of access. I kind of allude to the story that I wrote a bit later in the week with regards to the coverage maps that Vodacom and MTN have available on their websites. And kind of looking at the different areas that they're covering, if you are in the Western Cape, not going to really be happy about the amount of 5G access you're going to have. For MTN, for example, it's limited only to Bloubergstrand,
yeah,
in the Western Cape.
A little bit of Parklands, but mostly Bloubergstrand, yeah.
Yeah, so it doesn't really exactly hit, I guess, the CBD, as it were.
Yeah.
So I'm not really sure what kind of insights MTN will be able to gauge from the users in that area. That said, Vodacom's coverage in Western Cape isn't that much better. They're actually around the Century City area, so kind of either side of the N1 in that region. I thought that's one of the interesting aspects with regards to how Vodacom has actually rolled out their 5G. I took a look at their Johannesburg coverage map, and all the areas seem to be along the line of the N1 going from Johannesburg to Pretoria. I just thought it was really interesting as to how they've chosen to roll out their 5G coverage. But although 5G is here, it is very limited in terms of access. I think for now, at least, it's not going to be an issue of speed. I'm assuming that both offerings will be quite fast. It's more an issue of where you're actually going to get your coverage from.
Speaking
or whether you're able to access it.
Speaking of speed, I just want to highlight something that we spotted shortly after this announcement was made. MTN has a whole bunch of prepaid plans or capped packages available for 5G, starting at 5G 75 gigs, which gives you 75 gigs of anytime data and 75 gigs of night express data, and that costs 699 rand a month per month for 24 months. That's a SIM-only contract. One of the things that MTN was touting was download speeds of up to 800 megabits per second, which is incredible. That's insane. But then MTN's fair usage policy on its 5G unlimited plan states that if you use more than 200 gigabytes in a month, you will be throttled to 1 megabit per second. Right, so let's just bring this into perspective, right? You're going from 800 megabit per second down to 1 megabit per second. And if you think that 200 gigs is not that much data, right? In June, by the 9th of June, I had used 216 gigabytes of data, right? That's a lot of data in 9 days, sure. But I mean, if I was on this plan, I'd be using 1 megabit per second for the next month, which is just a bit crazy. We've also been told that the 200 gigabytes of nighttime data that you get, so there's a 400 gig fair usage policy. 200 gig goes to anytime data, which once you reach that, you get throttled to 1 megabit per second. However, there's 200 gigs of night express data, and the wording that MTN used is, let me just bring it up here very quickly so I can read it word for word. But it's a little bit worrying. The statement that we were sent reads as follows. A 200 gig hard cap is applicable to the Night Express data on the unlimited data plan. Once the 200 gig hard cap has been reached, the customer will have to load additional value to continue with the service. Now, to me, that sounds like once you hit that 200 gig hard cap, you're not going to be able to use the internet from midnight to 5 in the morning, which is when Night Express is valid. We've asked MTN for clarity on this. They haven't gone back to us as of yet, but it's really concerning, this wording. And as a result, we've written a story about this, but I would urge you that if you are going to take up a 5G package from MTN, stick with the capped packages, because even the 300 gig package is cheaper than the unlimited package. And what if you hit the 300 gig mark, you can just load up some more data. It's just bizarre. It's absolutely bizarre. I understand this is new technology, et cetera, but 1 megabit per second? Are you serious? Are you serious?
I think the important lesson to learn here is that don't get fooled by the term unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to want to see the phrase unshaped
as well. Yeah.
Because that's what's really important. Because you mentioned once you hit that fair usage cap, it's gone down real quick.
And 1 megabit is barely usable, guys. Like, especially in this day and age with streaming.
I remember a few years ago, we got an LTE package in the office from Telkom. And this package that they're offering, I can't remember the details, but it was a really good deal. And we weren't the only people getting it. And we were like, oh, yes, we'll replace the office Wi-Fi. I think we blew through the cap in like less than a business week. So in less than 5 days. And for the rest of that time, we were just stuffed. I remember we just sat there waiting endlessly for text pages to load.
Yeah.
Is hellish.
Not a fun time. Anyway, right. Let's start a apologies to everybody that just heard my Windows sounds in the background. I don't know what's happening. Things are just going crazy. Okay, it's calmed down. Right. Today we are going to be chatting about some news that broke late yesterday afternoon. That is that Amazon Studios and Kilter Films, the producers behind HBO's Westworld, will be producing a Fallout series. And I don't know how to feel about this. So that's why we're going to talk about it in the Africast today. I think a good jumping off point would be to start with, have you guys watched any series, not movies, because we all know that video game movies are terrible. TV series. Have you guys seen any TV series based on games that you really enjoyed, aside from The Witcher?
Isn't The Witcher the only one?
I think it might be. I think it might be. So,
yeah,
okay.
None are springing to mind at the moment.
So I think it's a kind of an untapped area, if we're honest. I mean, we've seen video game movies, Resident Evil, Sonic. Doom movie. That wasn't terrible. That was a great, terrible movie. It was bad, but it was bad. It was good. Brendan? The one with Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
No. There was recently, last year, there was another Doom movie that was actual schlock. Really bad.
Oh, no. I'm talking about the Semper Fi one.
Yeah. That one's different. And then there was also Tomb Raider a couple of years ago, and that was generally well-received.
It was meh. It wasn't bad. It wasn't too great.
It was fine-ish. And then I think there's also a lot of animated stuff. There was the Mario TV show. There was a few different Sonic the Hedgehog TV shows. So there have been a few TV shows, but none of them have really been as big as The Witcher. I think The Witcher has become the new gold standard, really.
And also, I think it's worth mentioning that The Witcher isn't based on the video games. It's based on the books that are written by the guy whose name I cannot pronounce. I'm not even going to try and attempt it.
Don't even try.
It's like, and not even going to try. Polish name. The Polish gentleman who wrote The Witcher series. So it's based off of that. But there are like callbacks to things in the games, I seem to remember, or else my mind is just filling in blanks. But I mean, I think this will be Fallout being turned into a series will probably be the first series based on a video game. Like, I suppose that comes with a whole bunch of caveats as well, but one of the bigger titles.
I mean, there's also Last of Us that they're looking to develop as well.
Oh, yeah.
The news of Fallout actually came, I think, a few hours before, a few hours after. There is a video game called My Friend Pedro, which is published by Devolver Digital. That's also going to become a TV show. It's being made by one of the co-creators of John Wick. Mm. And there's also a Disco Elysium game, television show based on the game Disco Elysium coming out. So in the next few years, we're actually going to get, I wouldn't say a wave, but we're going to be getting a lot of TV that has its roots in video games.
So one of the things I want to ask you guys, let's start off here as the actual jumping point. My first story was a meme. My first question was a meme. Let's start here. Do we think that television series, like long-form series, are a better medium for telling the stories of games than a two-hour feature film? Let's start with you, Clinton.
So I'm going to go the obvious route, yes. The question comes down, it's because of length, right? A movie, you have maybe 3 hours of an audience's attention, right? But then you're going to base the source material on a game which is 100 hours long.
Mm.
And even if you only stick to like the main storyline, the real meat and potatoes, right? You're still not going to get everything, and you're still not going to get what a lot of people love. I mean, think about The Witcher. If you do think of the third game, I think a lot of people like the Baron quest more than the actual main story of the game.
Yeah.
And if they announced that they were doing the series based on The Witcher 3, which didn't happen, this is just like an example.
Yeah.
If you made that show and then you didn't have the Baron quest, people are like, where the hell is this? I want my demon baby, right? So, yeah, TV is better just because it's longer.
Mm.
And I think that's what a lot of people are going to stick to. You have more time to flesh everything out.
Robin?
And I think that's one of the big reasons.
I think that it really depends on the game. Mm. Just thinking about properties that I would love to kind of see a TV series or movies. Say, for example, all the cutscenes from Mortal Kombat 11 could be really great fodder for a movie, for example. Yeah. A game like Destiny 2, it could be a TV series, it could be a game, I mean, a movie as well. I mean, there are different elements. It really kind of depends on how deep the lore is for the game. For example, something like The Last of Us, I think it works better in a TV series format because there are kind of really nuanced stories to tell there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I wouldn't say my preference leans towards one or the other. It's more about what the game is about and kind of how the stories are told in the actual game itself.
So I tend to side with you as well, Robin. I think that while we haven't seen very many good video game movies, I think that that's a failing less on the source material and more on how do you tell the story. Like something like The Witcher, there are so many different ways that you can tell that story and different beats that you could pick up. I mean, when that series came out, I saw there was a lot of criticism about like, oh, they took this really small thing and stretched it out into a full episode. And it's like, well, I mean, you kind of got to take some creative liberties at times. I mean, like something that is already in the pop culture, like Breaking Bad, for instance, if they had scrapped one season of that just because it went on a bit too long, I think that it would have done a disservice to the story. And I think that it's kind of a tricky rope that producers need to walk when trying to translate a game into another medium. It's something that you've got to kind of think carefully about. And it's kind of telling that in Bethesda's release announcing the news about Fallout, that there wasn't much that was said regarding the actual series. Like, there's not where it's going to take place, how the story is going to be told. Is it going to be live action? Is it going to be animated, CGI? Like, there's not much to go on because I think a lot of that stuff still needs to be worked on and ironed out. This is just news that, hey, Amazon Studios and Kilter Films are working to produce this project, which I think is very interesting. But I think the danger here, specifically with this one, is that there are so many stories to tell in Fallout, or from Fallout, rather. And this is not just... Clinton.
So I have an answer for that, Brendan.
Yeah.
And this can apply to movies or TV shows. I've actually been thinking about this. What if they did an anthology series? So instead of having one TV show focusing on, I don't know, one vault or one vault dweller or the time before the bombs dropped, whatever you want to do, what if every season or every episode focuses on a different story from the wasteland? Or, and now this one's really clever, and if they steal this, I'm going to be a bit upset. What if you do an anthology series and then every episode focuses on one vault? Now, if you go on the Fallout Wiki, oh, I can see the gears turning already.
Yeah.
If you go on the Fallout Wiki, you can find a lot of cruel jokes where Vault Tech basically made every vault a little bit different just to test things out, right? Just to have a look, what would happen? And some of them are like, you have 99 women and then one man, and then another vault is 99 men and one woman. What happens to the vault? What happens to the vault dwellers? What happens when one of those vaults is found, you know, a few hundred years later? How does that all pan out? So I think an anthology series, not just for Fallout, but for a lot of other games, would actually work really well.
Yeah.
And I wonder if any of them are actually going to pick that up.
That Fallout idea is brilliant because one of my favorite things about the Fallout games was stumbling across a new vault that was empty, and then you piece together the story of what happened there. Like you said, there were some really messed up things that Vault Tech did in that game to people. Really just, damn. ethically speaking, well, there's that Twitter account, Can You Break the Geneva Convention? I'm pretty sure you could in Fallout. So I want to kind of bring this back to focus on Fallout rather than games in general. I did mention that we don't know what sort of form this is going to take, live action, CGI. What would you guys like? Would you like an animated series, or would you like something that's like done completely in CGI, live action? What would you enjoy seeing in Fallout context?
So yeah, I guess I'll just steal the mic again. I would like to see a live action for this. And the reason is the Art Deco alternate history nuclear punk, or whatever you call it. The look of Fallout is so unique, and we've seen it in games so much. I really want to see that in real life. I want to see people walking around in power armor. I want to see, you know, floating robots, floating cars. I want to see that very unique look of Fallout in real life. And that might be, I don't know, that might be asking a bit too much. Maybe, you know, it's a monkey's paw situation where it is real life, you know, and the CGI is just really low quality and it all looks terrible. I really want to see all of this in real life. And I think, you know, I just have this in my mind's eye. If they created an actual vault or a series of sets which looked like enclosed vaults, I think that would be something amazing to watch. Mm. And even, you know, if the actors or the story aren't great, you could have this great set piece in the background to watch. And then maybe when the COVID lifts, we could all go visit the set. I would like to see real life, but that might be asking too much.
Robin?
Yeah, I think it kind of depends on what constraints the production team has or kind of what kind of budget they have to work on. I know, like for something with like Westworld, obviously a sizable budget, they were able to kind of create these worlds which looked amazing. So if they have the money available, the live action would obviously be the route I'd like to hit. If not, though, I think animation probably would work as a vehicle for that. I think it really just depends on kind of what kind of production limitations they have.
Mm.
That perspective.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the deciding factor, especially given what's happening now in the world. By now, I mean COVID-19 pandemic. We've seen a lot of productions have shut down locally and abroad, and I think that will play a big role in how this happens. We have no word on when this series is going to come out, when production is going to start. As I said earlier, there was very minimal information about the actual TV series in this press release from Bethesda. But and that's why we're talking about it, because it gives us a chance to theory craft and come up with with ideas. For me, I would honestly like to see live action with some terrible B-grade CGI. And the reason I say this is that in the press release from Bethesda.net, when it eventually decides to load, there was a statement here made. Here we go. The magic of the Fallout world is the harshness of the wasteland set against the previous generation's utopian idea of a better world through nuclear energy. It is serious and harsh in tone, yet sprinkled with moments of ironic humor and B-movie nuclear fantasies. So I kind of hope that they curve into that B-movie thing. Because, and I'm going to use an example of a series that you can watch right now, that curves into it splendidly, and that is Z Nation. So Z Nation is similar in sense to The Walking Dead, but it's a bit more, what's the word? Flamboyant. There is a zombie apocalypse. There is humans that are trying to complete a mission, but throughout the series, there are moments that are kind of funny. There are moments that are kind of serious. And then there's just some terrible CGI now and then where you're just like, wow, that is so bad. But it adds to the enjoyment. And I kind of hope that we get something similar here with this Fallout thing, in that it's campy in a sense in certain areas, but then when it needs to be serious, it can be serious. It's a delicate line to walk. But I do think that Z Nation does a really good job of balancing that. And I would like to see something similar. Who knows? I don't know. That's just what my hope is for. But I also enjoy like Survivor. So maybe don't take my advice, producers of Fallout.
No, I think that actually that B-movie look that's a bit cheap would actually suit Fallout really well, now that you mention it, Brendan. I'm thinking, you know what? I still want my really nice pretty sets. If they made it where the background is immaculate, but then the acting in the CGI is a bit camp, I think that would be really cool.
Yeah.
I think that would really capture the feeling of Fallout. And it would be... I do want some of the humor from Fallout. You know, going back to The Witcher, we're always going to go back to The Witcher, I guess. That was mostly serious. There were jokes, but there were few and far between.
Yeah.
If they take a lighter tone with Fallout, I think it would not only be good, but it would also more closely match the game.
And also...
Go ahead.
Yeah, I am wondering about the wider appeal. I mean, if we look at The Witcher, the wider appeal there came from Henry Cavill. It's just, people watched it because he was in it. You can tell me that people watched it for Yennefer, but until Yennefer was revealed, I'm guaranteeing nobody knew who that actress was. Probably
not. I'm definitely watching season 2 for Yennefer.
that was the draw. And I think like a title as a title as big as Fallout, while it's big in the gaming circles, I don't know how big it is outside of gaming. Like I've heard people talk about it. I've mentioned it to friends before that don't play games. But I do wonder if people are aware of what Fallout is and what the game is about, and how do you make a series that appeals to those people with a game series that's been going on for how long now? Years, decades at this point. I wonder how you get that right.
I think what you're saying, Brendan, is they need a really big star to be the main character.
Yeah, well, not necessarily. Yeah, Robin?
I was just wondering about, like, you kind of mentioned the issue of casting. It's perhaps another question we can bring up later, but I always think that, especially when you deal with games or trying to take a specific medium that there's a huge fandom for and then translate it to a different medium, that you have to honor what those original fans liked about it. So something like Witcher, I know there was a lot of casting choice of Henry Cavill was quite divisive. I think a lot of people wanted Mads Mikkelsen to be Geralt. And I take, for example, something like The Last of Us. People are so invested with the characters of Joel and Ellie, how they look, and especially so the voice actors that actually did both of those characters.
Yeah.
quite well known, at least within the gaming community. So I do wonder about things like casting, but perhaps we can chat about that later. I just jumped in there.
No, it's a valid point because, I mean, like, sorry, Clinton, let's jump on your point and we'll circle back to Robin's. What did you want to say, Clinton?
No, I just wanted to say the problem with getting a really big name on the project and then focusing everything around that is that the main characters in the Fallout games have been complete blank slates, right?
Yeah.
It's an RPG. You're supposed to play it as you like. And I think a lot of the memorable characters in the games have been smaller NPCs. So I'm wondering if they do go the route of getting a big name to be in the show, how are they going to balance that? Is that big name going to be one of the NPCs? Are they going to create some new fictional main character to be the focal point of the series? It would be weird to balance that. It would be. Can you imagine if they got Henry Cavill in and he was only in like half of the episodes?
Yeah.
It would be weird.
I mean, for example, something like Fallout, does it have a specific character that people, their fans kind of link the game to? I think Fallout has a broader scope in terms of casting and stars and stuff like that. So you could potentially go with a whole cast of unknowns and really then focus in and hone in on the story.
The Game of Thrones route.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think also like Game of Thrones, there's so many big characters. You could just make it, you get them in with the lure of the world and the setting, and then you kind of work in the characters from there.
So I wonder if they would bring in, War never changes. Ron Perlman as a character. Like somebody for the Brotherhood of Steel or something like that.
Yeah, they could make it about all these big factions trying to take control of the wasteland. That would be really compelling.
Yeah,
I'd love to see that.
Something similar to what was The Expanse on Amazon Prime. Like, that was really cool seeing how those different factions interacted with each other and then stories from within those factions. That might be a cool way to approach it.
And you could even bring in the what are the synthetic people called again?
The synths.
Yeah, the synthetic people, the synths. Yeah. You could also make it. Oh, they're going to go the Westworld route again. You could make it about the synths, having intelligence and trying to be accepted as real people, and then the Brotherhood of Steel trying to go against that. I don't know if they would go that route because that's been explored in so many other pieces of media. I think they'd want to focus on more Fallout original stuff, but that could be another way to go.
So I wanted to just go and touch on the production crew very quickly. So the team Kilter Films has worked on Westworld, as we've said. They're also working on a series called The Peripheral, which is based in near future America. One of the executive producers, what was their name? Lisa Joy. They actually wrote the script for The Blacklist and was produced with the other person that is working on this, Jonathan Nolan, Michael DeLuca and Aaron Ryder. So I think just looking at this lineup of shows that they've worked, I think that we are probably going to get a bit more serious of a series here in this. But once again, hopefully hopefully we get a more B-grade style of things. That's just my hope. Not everybody's, just mine. So I kind of want to reach off here a little bit and ask you guys, Robin, you alluded to it earlier. Clinton, maybe you could kick us off. What would you like to see in terms of a game turn into a series? Not a movie, just a series.
So I do want to say I'm going to go back to my anthology idea. But aside from that, what I would like to see is they're going to struggle having the two parts of Fallout, which is the vaults and the wasteland, right? Those two are kind of diametrically opposed. And the way they've done it in the past is you spend some time in the vault, usually doing the tutorial, and then you break out from the vault and then you go into the wasteland. So what I would like to see is maybe season one is just the vault. And then maybe season two onwards, if there's going to be more than one season, they can do the wasteland. Or, and this is another idea I have, it would be cool if it gets stolen. What they could do is you could have a core cast of characters where for a few episodes in the first season, they're just regular people in the alternate past, right?
Yeah.
Then for the rest of season one, the bombs hit and they're in the Fallout shelter or the vault. And you know, yeah. They call the vaults. And then they go into the wasteland in season two or whatever. And in that way, you can see the same characters having to adapt in three separate ways.
Timelines.
And they could also, do a time skip where...
Like Fallout 4 style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could be in the vault and then you have to go into the cryogenic chambers. And then when you go back into the wasteland, things have changed completely. I think there'll be a nice way to do it. You could even do it one season is before the bombs, one season in the vault, one season in the wasteland. That could be really cool. But I think a lot of people just want to see the wasteland. I don't know if they'll have the patience to sit through one season.
Robin and yourself, is there any games you would like to see turned into a TV series?
Immediately comes to mind is probably Destiny.
Mm.
I think there's a lot of lore that you can tap into. There's different elements. Something, Cade 6 was like the lead, and you kind of go on escapades with him or something like that.
No, let's not bring Nathan Fillion into anything, please. I'm still getting over Firefly not being renewed.
He's in enough things, okay?
I think also Destiny is probably one of those games where the trailers, especially the live action ones, have been quite cool. But to kind of follow a fire team, is it like exploring the galaxy and stuff like that? I think there's a lot of like Star Wars-esque elements to Destiny that you could perhaps into different kinds of shows. But yeah, I think that's probably the first one that probably comes to mind as a theory that's rich in terms of content for Hollywood, whoever.
So for me, while I would love to see a Destiny series, I would actually really, really, really like to see, I don't know if you guys have heard of it, it's called Star Wars Knights of the Old... I'm joking. in all seriousness, though, something that I would really like to see, we saw a fan film made about it a couple of years back. It's a little indie game called Papers, Please. It's a little indie game where you act as a border post guard, but I don't know, something about that game just stuck with me from the moment I played it. And I think that exploring that in a longer format would be really, really interesting. I know there was a short film about it that takes place. I think it just touches on the first couple of minutes of the game. But the game from there gets really, really crazy, and I think that would be really nice. Alternatively, another thing that I would love to see a series about that helps to understand the broader narrative is Metal Gear Solid. Okay, now, I know that there's the Kojima and the Konami issue. Like, forget about that for just a second. I would really love to see the Metal Gear story told from beginning to end in a TV series where I don't have to worry about playing the game, number one. Oh, number two, where everything is just told in a more cohesive way, because the stories in those games are fantastic. They are absolutely incredible. But I think that a lot of people are pushed away from them because a lot of the time it's like, okay, well, you're playing a game. Now please sit down and watch a 4-hour movie. And people are like, I don't want to do this. I really don't want to do this. And I think that the subject matter of Metal Gear Solid would make for a fantastic story. The whole Metal Gear thing, there's just so many elements there to it. You could have like 20 series, and I would way rather watch 20 series of Metal Gear Solid than 20 series of Big Bang Theory, Hollywood.
So who's going to be Snake for you then?
For me? Oh, not Kiefer Sutherland.
David Hayter.
He did the voice, but I don't know if he would like if he looks the part. You know, I think visually, probably Henry Cavill.
It's just going to be the default choice from now on.
If you have any questions, you can just message Brendan at Henry Cavill fan number one.
At gmail.com. No, I think, I don't even know. That's I'd have to come back and think about that. But yeah, Metal Gear Solid for me, I think, would be the first one that I would want to watch.
So I've thought of one while you were speaking, Brendan. Yeah. I would love to see Far Cry, specifically Far Cry 3.
Ooh.
I think Far Cry 3 has the best story of them all. And the actor for Voss played Voss.
I mean,
that was one of the rare times where he did the motion capture. He did the voice. He also did a few live action spots for Far Cry 3 where he just exactly looks like the character. So that would be great.
And if we could just have it, if he can just be the main villain, not the other dude that was actually the main villain in the game. Sorry, spoilers if you haven't played Fallout 3.
Came out like a decade ago.
Yeah. So, but I think that would be, oh man. Oh yes. Fallout 3 is a TV series. Give it to me, please.
It's Far Cry 3.
Oh yeah. Sorry.
Oh, they get a bit tongue twisty. So I looked up while you were speaking, Brendan, I looked up Snake fan casting. And they've got Oscar Isaac. And looking at them together, Snake and Oscar Isaac, that's a really good...
Yeah.
Like not even acting ability, even though I think Oscar Isaac is really good. I think he'd make a good Snake.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Yes, do it, Hollywood. Do it. Konami, you're not making games anymore. Don't make series either. So just give it to somebody else. Let him do it.
Could you imagine... Kojima coming back just to do the show, like they patch it over with Konami and they do the show. That would be, and then afterwards we'll get World Peace and we'll have World Hunger.
And then after that we'll get a new Silent Hill game, right?
Yeah,
made by Kojima. Right. I think just to kind of wrap up, is there anything besides Fallout that is based on the video game franchise that you are sort of looking forward to from a movie or a series perspective?
So I mentioned it earlier, but the My Friend Pedro, I played a bit of that game. It's really good. But what I think they might do if they do adapt it, which they are, I mean, if they take this route, I think they would have a massive focus on just kinetic combat, because that's all the game. Well, that's not all the game was. It did have a weird story, but that game really focused on combat first. And I wonder if they could make a show which was also just balls to the wall fighting. They did it with the movie Upgrade from 2018, but again, a movie is much shorter than a show. So I'm very curious as what they're going to do with My Friend Pedro. I think they're actually doing a 30 minutes. I think that the thing for My Friend Pedro is only going to be 30 minutes. So, I wonder if they can just be balls to the wall for 30 minutes. Interesting to see.
Robin, yourself, anything you're looking forward to in the coming years or months?
I wouldn't say necessarily looking forward to. I'm quite interested to see what they actually do with it. Is the Last of Us series. I know that Neil Druckmann, if I'm pronouncing his surname correctly, he was the director behind the first and now the sequel, which has been quite divisive. What his take on it would be if he had to do a TV series. I know he's attached to the project now and he's going to be co-writing it along with another person from HBO. So I would be interested to see kind of where they take it. Also, I'd be very interested to see how they go about casting, because like I mentioned, Joel and Ellie have a very, very... really like kind of etched into the minds of the game community as the voice actors that actually did the project. So yeah, I would be quite interested to see how they go about that.
Maybe Troy Baker will do voiceover dubs for whoever plays Joel. Maybe. Who knows?
I'm a really old guy and get him.
Yeah. I'm also looking forward to how The Last of Us is turned into something other than a game. I played the first game. I haven't played the second one or part two just yet. And yeah, it's a really compelling story. And I think that the game kind of works in a medium of something like a series or a movie, because it kind of follows a similar sort of, not path, it's reminiscent of those mediums of storytelling, which is really nice. And of course, I'm looking forward to the next season of The Witcher. Just because I'm the world's number one Henry Cavill fan, even when his mustache is CGI. But yeah, I think that's going to do it from us for this week. Thanks so much for tuning in. As soon as we know more about the Fallout TV series, we will... Is it still called a TV series if it's online? Once we know more about it, we'll give you some more information. Of course, we will watch it when it does come out. But from everybody here at Hypertext, thank you very much for joining us this week. From Clinton Matos.
Bye, everybody.
From Robin Lee Chetty.
Cheerio.
And from myself, Brendan Lodge, cheerio. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.